Reading of God's Word this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 2. If you'd like to turn and follow along, begin reading in verse 28. As you turn there, I remind you that we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It is inerrant. It is our only infallible rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the Word of our God will stand forever. Luke chapter 2, begin reading in verse 28. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Continuing with the story of Simeon, beginning in verse 28. Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your holy word. And Lord, we pray for the presence of your spirit that you would work within us to remove worldly cares, worldly distractions, vain thoughts, that we may focus and ponder and consider the wonder of your word as it reveals the wonder of our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name and to his glory. Amen. Last week, we started looking at this mysterious figure, Simeon. We're not told much about him at all, except that he was a devout believer. And at some point in his life, the Holy Spirit had miraculously revealed to him that he would not die until he physically laid eyes on the Savior of the world, the Christ. And so day after day, for years, who knows how long this has gone on in the life of Simeon, this old mysterious man finds himself in the temple looking for the Christ. He was a sentinel. He was a watchman at the temple looking for the Lord's Christ. And then that day came where a young couple walks into the temple with about a 40-day-old child. And Simeon lays eyes on that child, and he takes hold of that child, and he held the salvation of the world in his hands. He looked his Creator in his face, and he declared, verse 29, that he was ready to die because he believed the child was the Christ. Look at verse 29. "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." God's own salvation had come, and it was all right for him to end life. And I think a very appropriate question in light of this passage, and a very appropriate question at Christmas time, is for all of us to ask the question, are you ready to die? Are you ready to die? Could you honestly say, if in the Lord's providence this was your last day of life, that you would be ready to move to meet your Maker? And I want to tell you this morning, you're not ready unless you've transferred your trust to Jesus Christ. That is exactly what Simeon pictures for us. His life for your life, his death on the cross for you. You need Christ, and you need Christ before you die. And that's exactly what Simeon is saying here. His hope was in the coming of Christ, and only then could he be prepared to die. Only then could he be prepared to meet eternity. In embracing Christ, he says, "Now I can depart this world for eternity." And this is a beautiful passage, verses 29 to 32. If you'll note in your English translation here, it's written in a poetic form. This is poetic prophecy. That's because the verses of 29 through 32 are an inspired prophetic song. That's a response of Simeon. He bursts into this inspired prophetic song as he holds the Savior in his arms. And it's short, but there's some great truths here. Let me point out three. Three things that Simeon declares about Christ. That's been the theme as we're going through these Christmas messages in Luke 2. How is it that when Christ is revealed, when Jesus is revealed, how is it that those to whom he is revealed testify to the fact that he is the Christ. We saw it with the shepherds. We saw it with Mary and Joseph. You see it here with Simeon. How is he testifying to the fact that Jesus is the Christ? Let me give you 3 points he makes in this inspired song of prophecy. First, verse 30 and 31. He says, I'm ready to depart in peace. I can leave life today because I have embraced Christ. Verse 30, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. He first speaks of the child as being God's salvation. Isn't that a wonderful title for Jesus? I have seen God's salvation. Your salvation. Literally, I have seen the one fitted to save. How is it that Jesus is fitted to save? How is it that Jesus is fit to be our salvation? Well, because he's God, first of all. And only God is equal to the needs of mankind. Only God is equal to meet what ails you as a human being. Nobody else can do it. Nobody else is able. Nobody else is capable. We're not. We're not because we're part of the problem. The problem resides within us. The scripture is very clear. We carry sin with us into this world. Can't fix ourselves. Only God can do that. But he's not just God. He's also a man. And that's essential too for him being fit to be your Savior. If he's not a man, he can't die. And Christ Jesus came into the world. He was prepared and he was perfected that he might die in our place. And he's also fit because he's sinless. He is the sinless God-man who was prepared to die in your place. And that's very important. That's the whole purpose of the incarnation, is to save his people from their sins. Each of us is a sinner. If we die for our own sins. Take someone who is sinless to die for the sins of another, to die in the place of another. So get this. This is the first point Simeon's making when he takes this child into his arms and he says, at last I have seen God's salvation. What he's saying is, at last I have embraced the one who is perfectly suited to do exactly what the world needs most. I have embraced God. I have embraced man. I have embraced a sinless God-man who will die as an expression of God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He is the salvation of the world that you've prepared in the presence of your peoples, he says in verse 31. All peoples. There's a second point Simeon makes. Look at verse 32. He's not only God's salvation, but look at verse 32. He says he is a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Now, if you know a little bit about the history of the ancient world, I don't think any of us would deny the fact that the Gentiles of the day, the Romans, the Greeks, the ancient world, were in gross darkness, gross sin. Gross ignorance of spiritual things, eternal things. Now, if you had gone to the palace of Herod and asked Herod, is the Gentile world in darkness? Herod would have said, absolutely not. The Gentile world is the Roman world, and Rome has brought justice. Rome has brought peace. Rome has brought political stability. Rome has brought an infrastructure program the likes of which humanity has never seen. What a time to be alive. Of course, we're not in darkness. If you'd gone to the courts of Greece and you had asked the Greek philosophers, is the world in darkness? They would have said, well, perhaps the barbarians, yes, they're in darkness. But not for the Greeks. We have a philosophy. We have Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, others. We're very enlightened. We're not in darkness. But friends, we know. If you go to the scriptures and ask the question, is the world in darkness? It's a resounding yes. The answer is that not only was the world in darkness then, 2,000 years ago, But the same is true today. The world is still in darkness. In fact, apart from the light that Jesus Christ brings, the world is getting darker and darker all the time. Read the newspaper. Look at the news. It's getting darker and darker all the time. And our world, oh, it would be amusing if it wasn't so sad. Our world, our society, our culture tries so hard this time of year especially to gain just an aura of religiosity. People want the notion of light. People want the notion of peace. People want the notion of stability and light. But they want it without Jesus Christ. Just enough spirituality to be respectable, but eliminate Christ, which is just another form of darkness. Mary Ramahana Quanzimus. Take Christ out, but let's keep a little bit of spirituality. That's just darkness. What Simeon is saying here in verse 32 is that the light that is necessary to enlighten the Gentiles is found in Jesus Christ alone. He's God's salvation. He's a light to the Gentiles. Let me give you a third thing Simeon says here. If you'd gone to the Jews and asked them, is the world in darkness? They would have been very quick to say, well, certainly the Gentiles are. Yes, the Gentiles are in darkness. They represent everything that is disregard for the law. They represent a disregard for the scriptures. They represent everything that is idolatrous and pagan. Yes, the Gentiles are in darkness. But look what he adds here, thirdly, into verse 32. By the way, Israel, he's also a glory to your people as well. He's not just a light to the Gentiles, but in other words, everyone is in darkness, Jew and Gentile. Everyone's in darkness. And in Jesus Christ, God the Father brings salvation that is sufficient for the whole world because he loved the whole world. So he's a light to the Gentile, a light to the Jew. He's salvation to the Gentile. He's salvation to the Jew. He's a glory to the Gentile and to the Jew. He's the glory of his church, and he brings salvation to all peoples without distinction, Jew, Gentile, black, white, male, female. And Christ is the hope of salvation for all. It's exactly what he's saying there. The whole gamut. He's come to save. He's God's salvation. He's God's light. And he's God's glory. Look at their response to this, verse 33. Again, put yourself in the shoes of these young parents, hearing this prophet prophesy these poetic lyrics over their son. His father, verse 33, and his mother marveled at what was said about him. It's amazing. Just amazing who this is in their presence and all that's happening. Let me show you one final thing that Simeon says here. And it's really shocking. Think back up until this point in Luke's narrative, everything has been very positive. Very positive. The joy of the birth, the appearance of the glory of the Lord to the shepherds, the appearance of the myriad of angels singing glory to God in the highest, and praise and hope and joy. It takes a turn here. Look at verse 34. Simeon blessed them. Now, what do we think of when we think of a blessing? Here's this old prophet. He's going to bless this young couple. I think naturally we might expect, okay, here comes a prayer for peace. Here comes a prayer for prosperity. Here comes a prayer for wealth, happiness. He blessed them, and listen to his blessing. Said to Mary, his mother, behold, This child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Mary, your son, and this is a blessing, your son is going to be a line of demarcation for all human beings for the rest of time. He's going to be a line of demarcation, and for some, he's going to represent the glories of salvation. But Mary, you have to understand, for others, he is going to represent the despair of eternal judgment. That's what he's saying there. This child is appointed to be the fall and rising of many. Some will fall because of Christ. Some will rise because of Christ. Thoughts there, end of verse 35, are negative beliefs, sinful thoughts. Christ is going to be the one. Your son is going to be the one who comes into this world and he reveals the hearts of men and women. And their response to him is going to be a dividing line. And Mary, his life is not going to be easy. His life is going to be marked by hatred and plotting and insults and mockery and torture and abuse, both verbal and physical. And eventually they will put him to death by crucifixion. And Mary, verse 35, this is going to drive an emotional sword through your heart as you, as his mother, looks upon his life and sees this unfold. It's a blessing. You are the one who bears the Savior of the world, but it will come with pain. This challenges every popular conception of what blessed means. Blessed does not just mean happy, healthy, and wealthy. In fact, in the Christian life, often it means just the opposite. Mary will find her salvation in her own son. The shepherds will find their salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon will find his salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But for many of them, it's going to mean a life of pain. Earthly pain. Following Jesus is not a guarantee that you get a pass on earthly pain. But nevertheless, in Christ, the hope of the world is being realized. Friends, what's the bottom line here? What's the bottom line here? Simeon is saying, Jesus is the salvation of the world. He's the light of the world. He's the glory of the world. And just as then, 2,000 years ago, today, some will bow the knee and fall on their faces and repent and believe and receive eternal life. And just as 2,000 years ago, today, many others will reject Christ and refuse to believe. But in him, either way, the hope and salvation has come. For the shepherds, they received him. And they said, we could die in peace. Mary and Joseph received him. We could die in peace. Simeon received him, said, I can die in peace. What a great word of encouragement. Sobering, but what a great word of encouragement and hope to these parents. The question this morning that is begged by this text is, what have you done with Jesus Christ? Is Jesus a light to you? Is Jesus a glory to you? Is Jesus salvation to you? Hear the message. Reflect upon the redemptive purposes of Christ, which is what Christmas is all about. And ask yourself those questions, because he's calling you to trust in him for eternal salvation. Father, I pray this morning that amid all of the busyness of the season, the gifts and the gift giving and the partying and eating and all of the wonderful excitements that come with it, that you would provide for us all moments of sober reflection when we can ask ourselves these deep and eternal and abiding questions. Turn our minds toward eternity. And Lord, by the grace of your Holy Spirit, enable us to make peace with you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.